You happy now?
Actually, not too bad. You?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 8, Boyfriend. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's coming up on the Patreon. This Friday, April 12th, is the birthday of one Shannon Doherty, Shando herself. And so maybe disrespectfully, I mean, I think we're going to be probably pretty respectful of her and less respectful about the media narrative at the time. But the point is, in the year 1993, in March and April, there were very close together two cover stories about her in like the worst kind of her bad press era. She was on the cover of the March 1993 Us when it was still a monthly, and then again on the April 23rd, 1993 Entertainment Weekly, which has a sidebar that is wild with their advice for rescuing the careers of people like Bill Cosby and Woody Allen. And boy, oh boy, has that advice not aged well. So we're going to get into it. Neither of these stories is available online. However, we have, of course, scanned them in full. So if you join us on Patreon, you can read along with those articles. There will be visual aids that you can check out. So again, with this podcast.com/club to get that this Friday, April 12th, and read those stories and support this podcast. We love to have you.
You were spoiled.
Let's begin with, unfortunately, our B plot. Mitch and Gail try to repair their marriage, even though no one cares about them. In the kitchen at the Leary house, we get our first glimpse of Mitch and Gail since the hurricane. I would say they are acting like civil but not particularly friendly colleagues in a break room. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
They confirm one another's plans for the day and the therapy appointment that they have together that afternoon. And when Dawson appears upstairs, they both practically beg him to come eat breakfast with them so they don't have to talk to each other. But he is late for school and hurries away from them and their awkwardness. And when he's gone, Gail and Mitch have nothing to talk about except what they have already covered. So things are great. Later, as you can see in the visual aids, Mitch is reading about baseball in the sports section. Could you tell from the little that we see what the story was or the era that it might have been?
I couldn't. I mean, I could probably have retro-engineered it. What struck me is that those were pretty clearly not, like, the Red Sox uniforms are quite distinctive and those were not that. So probably that era of the Atlanta baseball clubs.
Sure.
Because that would be the closest one, I think, at that time. Or maybe the Orioles. Anyway, right. This has been Not the Cape, Cape Talk.
Gail suggests classes they could take together, like sailing or fencing or scuba diving. Mitch says diving is expensive, but since Gail's the family breadwinner, it's not really his call. Gail would love to do it. And we get the exposition that their therapist, whose name is Dr. Keenan, in case it comes up in the future, wants them to experience new things together that neither of them has ever done before, and Calypto.
Well, hey, why didn't you say so? We've never tried swinging or spouse swapping. Wouldn't that be more appealing to your recreational tastes?
When are you going to stop punishing me?
When I can get the vision of my naked wife playing hide that. When it stops hurting.
Hide the.
I mean, not that anyone cares. I certainly don't, and I'm not saying anyone should. But they at least did seem to be written in a manner distinct / discreet ETE from the teenage characters.
Yes.
Not any more compellingly, but at least you could differentiate between them based on the dialogue.
It's true. I guess they decide to go with Gail's scuba suggestion because the next day. Maybe I will be complaining about this more in the A plot.
Same.
the 37 hour day. But anyway.
Yeah, God, what the hell?
Gail and Mitch are getting back from class with their gear and bitching at each other about who drifted away from whose buddy. Well, Dawson upstairs eavesdrops and worries and gets up and cracks his door just in time to hear Gail say She can't do this by herself, so if Mitch is going to fight therapy this hard, they should just quit. And sometime later, Mitch checks in with Dawson and overshares at his son about how therapy with Dawson's mother is going, because Mitch is written real weird. Buddy, make a friend. This is not Dawson's job. Stop it. Much later, Mitch finds Gail shoving all the scuba gear into a trunk on the porch. Mitch doesn't think it's the new stuff that needs work. Maybe they've neglected some of the old things. Mitch loves Gail and is willing to do whatever he has to, but maybe they could try something simple that doesn't require parachutes or oxygen tanks. And he turns on the stereo and holds a hand out to her to dance. And she leans in to kiss him, but he stops her because one thing at a time. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. No. I mean, and why don't teen TV shows ever learn?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, we'll put this. Nope.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, don't need it. Moving on. To our A-plot, Jen's ex Billy comes to town to ruin everyone's life, even Joey's, tangentially. We open on Dawson channel surfing, which was the style at the time, and pausing on the scrambled adult film channel to see if he can make anything out, which, ditto. He finally ends on American Movie Classics, which is what AMC was pre-Mad Men, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then Joey, looking ragged, lets herself into the window. She is pretty sure she's about to go on a violent rampage due to baby-related sleep deprivation. And as she lists all the ways her exhaustion has affected her at school, she says she fell asleep in her European history class last week, which I thought these people saw each other every day. Why wouldn't she have told him that before now? And also, yeah, we saw her giving a presentation about feudal Japan, which I didn't think was in Europe, unless she's taking two different history classes in the same semester, which would be weird.
Hmm, it would.
Anyway, Dawson invites her to crash with him, so she immediately nags him about watching old movies all the time. Hey, maybe why don't you go see what the baby wants to watch, you fucking ingrate, but whatever. The film critique continues. Clip 3.
Dawson, Gary Cooper's kind of a snoozer.
Exactly. See, in the 40s, you could be a well-intentioned geek and still end up with a girl. I mean, whatever happened to the standard Gary Cooper types, you know? Likeable, but not too self-involved. Smart, without being arrogant. I mean, come on, what happened to that guy?
She has fallen asleep.
That's what I thought.
What was it with the culture and everyone aspiring to Gary Cooper at this time? I mean,
yeah,
to him and Tony Soprano does not a trend make, but it sure is just striking that it's like, why wouldn't you aspire to James Stewart instead? Like, mm-hmm. Gary Cooper, I don't know. My dad was a big High Noon fan. We saw it like 15 times, like it or not. Gary Cooper's kind of a badass, and he's not that silent. I don't know. It just seems like as a mid-century film hero model for TV characters to seize on, that it's like, him? yeah. Cary Grant? Anyone? I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen a Gary Cooper movie in my life, honestly, so I have nothing to add.
It's pretty good and pretty short. Recommend.
Okay. So then, as we see in the credits that this episode is based on a story by our old friends Charles and Karen Rosen of 90210 writing fame, Pacey complains to some old salt with an open container about how boring Capeside is. And he ends by kicking a can into the street, crossing without looking both ways, and almost gets run over by a classic convertible. And when Pacey yells, the driver reverses and asks if Pacey can help him find the high school. When Pacey starts directing him, he claims he has total recall. And when Pacey suggests he just direct him from inside the car, the driver passes on having Pacey ride with such a reckless guy and peels out, which, fair. Over to the Joey's, where things are crowded and chaotic. Just after we learn that the baby's name is Alexander, Bessie promises things will settle down once she and Bodie have gotten through their adjustment period. Shouldn't be more than a couple of years. And then we're at school, where Dawson is helping Joey review her Spanish homework and says when Joey asks that he doesn't know where Jen is. And when Joey follows up by checking that everything is still okay with him and Jen, he says they're great and seems to mean it. It did get rough for a while, I guess, after detention. And that's when Jen rolls up behind them. Clip 4.
I like you best.
What a pro. Almost sold it. Way to go, Michelle.
The funniest thing about that clip, though, is her voice is so loud, you can tell they ADR'd it. Like, was it that important for us to know she liked the vest? Really?
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, the vest was a sizable one, as
That's
is
true.
Everything else in his outfit.
My God. Dawson assumes he and Jen are still on for bowling later, which is when Joey peels off and Jen sees someone she doesn't expect. And what do you know? It's the driver who almost ran over Pacey. Jen is clearly rattled as she gets rid of Dawson without saying anything about this guy, and Dawson is completely incurious at this point and leaves, but Joey, still in the hall, watches Jen walk up to him once Dawson has gone. But Joey goes to class before she could try to overhear any of this. Clip 5.
What the hell are you doing here?
To greet the love of your life?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, Billy. Please leave. No.
Jenny. I drove all night just to see you.
New York's only 4 hours from here.
I got lost?
Like, do you have any idea what my grandmother would do if she found out you were here? I mean, the whole reason that my parents sent me to Cape Cod was to get me away from you. Like, Billy, things have changed, okay? Believe it or not, I've changed, and I'm not the same person
all
that
right,
you knew
then,
in New York.
All right, then tell me about it. Look, go for a ride with me, and you can fill me in on all the advances. Huh?
So she dodges his kiss.
2 minutes. Is that too much to ask for?
Alright. Sorry, but I'm keeping time.
So, partway through this, Dawson has crept around the corner and is lurking there as Jen walks out with Billy. And I just want to say, to force it all, everything we're going to get to, when Jen says, do you have any idea what my grandmother would do if she knew you were here? Like, that's all you need to say if you actually want him to leave, you know?
Yeah.
If he's going to follow you to your house, just be like, hey, Grams, come out for a second. She's going to scare the shit out of him and he will drive back to New York in 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
He will. Yeah. The only sort of thing of value here was that they did, like, you could actually drive to where I think they are supposed to be on the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Based on other pictures, we'll get to it, or you could see in the visual aids, but like that at least is possible. Sometimes they kind of seem to understand that they're not in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Right.
So that was good, but it's also like there's a 35-year-old in a vintage 70s from the waist up look on campus during class. Some vice principal is going to come out and run short eyes off the property. So a lot of this is very dumb.
It's true. So when Jen has gone, things get even worse for Dawson. Clip 6.
Hey, look, I'm looking for Jen. You don't know where she is this period, do you?
No, don't. Sorry.
Well, give her a message, will you? Tell her I'm having a barbecue at my house this Saturday, and I'd love her if she could make it. Hey, what the hell? Why don't you come, too?
Cool. Sounds great.
And one other thing. I don't know if you can help me with it. Jen doesn't have a boyfriend, does she?
Yeah. She does. Me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
MVP.
Leaving aside the timeline of the 36-hour day that we're going to get to, I feel like all of these episodes were made to, like, just shuffle around as needed because...
Yeah.
Even if Dawson is not popular, like, he's been dating Jen for a while. If Cliff is still interested in Jen, he would know that she was seeing someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
If only because all the events of the as-aired previous episode, detention, would have been like gossip headlines.
Yes.
In school. Everyone would know who had done what and also all the sort of ancillary personal details.
Totally.
I feel.
Yes. So then, sometime later, Billy has brought Jen back to Graham's place where Jen says being in Cape Side has been good for her, so she would very nicely like to ask him to leave. Again, this is a problem you could solve, especially now that she is yards away from you by having Grams come and run this guy out of town, literally. But
yeah,
she doesn't, I guess, because they couldn't afford to have her in this episode because she's not. But Billy is too tired to drive back now and too broke to pay for a hotel. So he says Jen will need to find him somewhere to crash tonight, which, like, no, that's not a Jen problem at all, actually.
No. Put the top up on your convertible, get in the back seat, and go to sleep. It's from the 70s. There's room.
It's true. Inconveniently, this is when Dawson materializes behind Jen and asks if everything is okay. And Jen is in the middle of figuring out what to tell him about all this when Billy introduces himself. And then, incredibly, Jen pulls Dawson aside to ask if he will quarter Billy for the night. And Dawson immediately dissolves into hysterical sputtering. Clip 7.
I don't even know him. I just met him. He's a complete stranger to me. I don't know anything about him.
Okay, well, what do you want to know?
I don't even know where to start. I mean, first of all, is he really just a friend or is he something more than that?
Dawson, first of all, I've already told you about Billy.
Is he the guy? He's Mr. Got Caught Doing It in Your Parents' Bed.
Yeah, but
he?
It's completely over between Billy and I, and I told him everything about us and that I'm with you now. But he is still my friend and only my friend, and I'd really appreciate it if you could give him a place to crash for the night. Believe me, Dawson, anything Billy ever meant to me, you now mean 10 times that. Please, Dawson, for me.
That's Billy giving Dawson his luggage.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, no problem.
Preposterous.
Yeah, it really, even for this show, this
yes.
is too...
It's too much.
This is straining the credulity too far.
Absolutely. After a commercial, we're in Dawson's room where Billy comments that this must be weird for Dawson. It's weird for me that we didn't get a scene of Dawson asking his parents if this complete random could stay in their house for the night, if only because it would give them something to talk about other than their own problems, and they would probably be relieved. But
yeah.
I guess since people are coming and going out Dawson's window that they never know about, they might not care, whatever. Billy needles Dawson about hosting his girlfriend's ex, but Dawson curtly says it's only for the night, and Billy's like, totally, and then moves on to asking if Dawson is some kind of a film buff. When Billy picks up Dawson's E.T. doll with obvious intention to roast it, Dawson storms over. Clip 8.
That's a collector's item. Look, Billy, if you're going to be staying another day, I should know. Jen should know.
Okay, how about this? I'm not leaving tomorrow. In fact, I have no intention of leaving until Jen's thrown you over and come back to me. So, the question is, what do you do about it, Dawson? Do you have Daddy throw me out? Do you remove me personally from the premises? Have a sense of humor, man. Look at you. You are all torqued up over nothing. Yeah, probably split tomorrow. But in the meantime, you and I should take advantage of our newfound closeness here.
Kiss, kiss, kiss. Just kidding. It's not that.
I also, wow, is that classic Rosen dialogue thrown over, torqued up?
Yeah.
This is Dave Sr. talk. He's 81. Like, guys, come on.
Anyway, they do not kiss. Billy dangles an offer to tell Dawson what Jen was really like in New York, and Dawson is obviously curious, but what he says is that Jen already told him everything about that. Billy counters that Jen only gave Dawson the headlines, and there's probably a lot Dawson doesn't know. And then this is where the timeline starts to get confused, because I guess it's the next day, even though Dawson and Joey are in the same outfits we just saw them wearing in school, but both of them are discussing the things that they saw and talked about as happening yesterday, and the lighting at Joey's is really confusing given that it was just definitely nighttime at Dawson's one scene earlier, but it's like bright daylight at Joey's. So Dawson's so self-involved, he walks into Joey's house bellowing, and Joey has to scramble to shut him the fuck up before he wakes up the baby. Dawson has the sense to wince in apology, at least, which you can see in the visual aids, but after Joey has shoved him into the kitchen, Joey quietly asks what's going on, and he explains, and it's hilarious how hard they worked to make Katie Holmes look kind of bad, as you can see in the visual aids. They just, like, didn't put concealer under her eyes, and that's kind of it, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, now that Mr. Smooth is in town, Dawson feels like his bowling date seems lame. Joey says bowling is always lame. Wrong, it's fun. But if True. Dawson kicks Billy out, he says, he will look petty, but if he lets him stay, he'll look like a patsy. Unclear if Billy's first night at Dawson's has happened yet again. But anyway, Dawson pouts that he is starting to think relationship problems run in the family. But no, no, no. We already talked about them. We're not doing this again. And rolling her eyes, Joey says Dawson's problems aren't that original. This will all blow over soon and he just needs to relax. But then she gets too close to him and looks like she wants to kiss, and he just smiles and chucks her on the shoulder before taking off again, and of course slams the door on the way out and wakes up the baby. Because he's that guy.
Yep.
In the next scene, it is daytime, either again or still. Now Jen and Dawson are in different outfits.
Yeah, and it's sunset or possibly sunrise.
Mm.
I had in my nose, I couldn't pull it, what they say for For All Mankind instead of a day, for a Mars day.
Oh, a Sol. Yeah.
Sol. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, what part of the Sol is this? When are we? Ugh, exhausting. And such late 90s attire on the top.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jen tells Dawson how much she appreciates his generosity letting Billy stay with her. Dawson decides to hassle her about Billy's plans to get her back, saying he doesn't think that she wants Billy to stop trying. Jen admits that Billy does still have feelings for her because they never had a chance to say goodbye. And then there's this clip 9.
I thought you wanted to make a break from all those guys who sexualized you way too young.
No one talks like this.
No.
Like, about themselves or their peers.
That she says she has to admit that Billy still has feelings for her. Like, this is the point at which Dawson is like, you know what? We're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Bye. But teenagers, I guess.
Yeah. So they go on. Jen says Billy was not one of those guys and that he treated her well. Clip 10.
So you're going back to him?
You have to think about that.
It's just not that simple, all right? It's confusing, okay?
We're invited to a party tonight at Cliff Elliott's. I want you to come with me. I want things to go back to normal, and I want Billy gone.
Look, I can't just send him away like that.
Why, of course, he's treated you with nothing but respect. But you know what, Jen? Last time I checked, so did I. And how do I get repaid by having the guy who's had you everywhere from Battery Park to your parents' bed dumped on me as my new bunkmate?
Dawson, come on, be fair to me, all right? Look, this isn't the easiest situation in the world for me either. I mean, imagine if some ex-girlfriend of yours suddenly showed up to town and just put everything in a whirlwind. How would you feel?
You know what, Jen? That's impossible, okay? Because I don't have an ex-girlfriend. You're my girlfriend, my first and only. All I'm trying to do is prevent Billy's ex from becoming my ex, too.
My feelings for you haven't changed, Dawson. Can't you see that? Try and understand.
Unfortunately, I think I do.
Battery Park? Really?
Yeah. I mean, again, boomers writing sure. This shit.
Although, given what we know about Dawson, it is possible all he knows about New York is what he learned from On the Town or whatever.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like, damn Yankees. Yeah, it's possible.
Over to the video store. Paisley's watching an action movie with his feet up, reminding us all why we wanted that job in high school when Joey enters and asks to rent The English Patient. Pacey offers to suggest something better, but Joey says it was on cable last night and it put the baby to sleep. It's the only thing that has, so can Pacey please just save her life? And when he goes to get it, Joey casually asks if he knows about Billy's visit. Pacey tells her he does and how he initially met him, and they go on. Clip 11.
So what's the party line? Think she'll go back to him? Return to her went in New York ways?
You know, I really don't know. But if Jen did ditch Dawson for Billy the Kid, wouldn't that please a certain someone we both know?
You know me, Pacey. I mean, I'm not one to stand in the way of true love. You know? But if Jen has a connection to this guy, which seems like she does, you know, what can we do about it?
Look, Joey, I've never really taken a particular interest in your life because, frankly, your life has never been particularly interesting. But there is one thing I need to know. You're really, really enjoying the fact that Jen's ex is in town, aren't you?
Well, it's intriguing, Pacey. I mean, even you have to admit that.
But you know what? This is the wedge you've been waiting for that's going to drive Jen and Dawson apart, right?
No, Pacey, you're such... It's not like that at all. You don't know what you're talking about.
The three of us, we've been friends too long. And up until now, I've just kind of stood idly by and watched this all go down. But it's time to lay this on the line, okay? You have some raging hormonal obsession for our friend Dawson, and you just can't wait to get your hooks into him. But good, can you? Huh?
Bite me, Pacey.
Busted.
They have so much chemistry, it is actually crazy.
They do. Like, It is. It almost distracted me from the fact that now it's yesterday again because she's wearing the same outfit that she was, but not quite. But yeah, even though his hair is terrible and is going to be terrible for like another two-thirds of a season, and even though the writing for her is terrible, obvious, and not credible, their scenes together are just like crackling. It's so much fun compared to the rest of the show.
So it really is like they're in another show, honestly. At the Ice House, Joey has no patience with her customers and loses track of where she's supposed to be. And then Pacey is there inviting her to crash Cliff's beach party. Joey rants about all the stresses in her life. Pacey says Dawson will be there alone. And Joey has barely had time to pretend she doesn't care when Bessie is there telling Joey to go now. Speaking of Dawson, back in his room, Mitch is checking in on where Billy the Kid is, so I guess they do know he's there. Dawson guesses Billy's probably hanging out with his ex-girlfriend. Inside the closet, and you can see this in the visual aids, there's now a City Slickers 2 poster that is printed backwards. Like, maybe he has it because it's a collector's item also. I have no idea how that ties into Steven Spielberg lore, but anyway.
Me neither.
Dawson complains that his nice guys, Dawson and Mitch, both went out of style decades ago. Acknowledging that he is not necessarily qualified to give anyone relationship advice, Mitch says he thinks there are disappointments, insecurity, and pain in everyone, and anyone who's never been hurt is either lucky or lonely. And at the waterfront, any comments on the bridge? Because we'll see this in the visual aids, too.
Yeah, that is not either bridge that gets you onto the Cape. So that's A. I mean, of course, we knew that it would not be.
Of course.
It does locate you somewhat in terms of where they want you to think.
Right.
They live, which would be like where, like W-A-R-E, it's a town, or born, or Sagamore, like somewhere where they would be able to stand in a park that is in the shadow of the bridge.
Yes.
But also the framing of this shot, I don't think I mentioned this in my caption, but it's very the poster for Woody Allen's Manhattan, which I guess at that time would have been an interesting referent. And now it's like, ew.
Yeah.
These are teenagers. Oh, was that the point?
Well, he is a teenager, air quotes. Like you said, he looks like a 35-year-old divorcee already. But anyway. Billy tells Jen how much he wants to scoop her up and take her back to New York. If he did, she would just come back here. Billy can't believe she is leaving him for a guy with an ET doll. Jen loyally says it's a collector's item and tells Billy she needs to go to that party. But first, since they don't know when or if they'll ever see each other again, he wants one last kiss. And when he promises to leave, if he gets it, she very briefly kisses him and says goodbye. Dave, did you have something to add? I just saw that you moved your mic.
You're talking about the backwards movie poster?
Yes.
What poster was it for?
City Slickers 2.
So I had a hunch, so I just looked it up. And a lot of movie posters in the relatively modern era are printed on both sides. So then when it goes into a light box, it doesn't lose color fidelity.
Right.
So they may have just been showing the back of the poster.
Yeah.
So it was a regular poster, but it just was double-sided to go in a light box.
It's still weird that he would hang it that way.
Well, that I don't know about, but that probably is what the poster is.
Okay.
One of the only movies I ever walked out of to get a refund because it was so bad. Yeah. Not even the air conditioning was enough.
I've been there. At the beach, the party's raging, but Joey is seething alone. Pacey checks how he looks before trying his luck with a girl. And then Dawson's there, and Joey perks up visibly, as you can see in the visual aids, at the chance to join Dawson in acting superior. Clip 12.
Good party, huh?
Oh, yeah. Time on my list?
That was such a rocket time since I joined the JV football team.
Oh, yeah, and cheerleading has opened up so many doors.
I would love to rip on them, but this was definitely me, too. An obnoxious, sassy reader acting above it all.
Yep. The, you know, JV Darius over here, both of us, for sure.
Dawson suggests getting one quick drink and then hitting up the video store, which sounds great to Joey. But at the makeshift bar, Jen finds Dawson, who is shocked to see her. She is alone and she's sorry about the way she treated him, but she stops her apologetic babbling by kissing him, and when she asks to go talk, he completely forgets that Joey is waiting for him. And Joey, meanwhile, is approached by a guy named Tyler and declines his drink rudely. But when Joey says she's waiting for Dawson, Tyler tells her he is on the beach with Jen, and Joey sees that it's true. So she will take that drink after all and not the last. And on the beach, clip 13.
You know what, Dawson, I'm sorry. I know I could have handled things better, but it's like Billy showed up and my judgment just flew right out the window. I mean, I cut class.
You're too hard on yourself. I swear she's too hard on us. Isn't she too hard on herself?
Wait, what is he doing here? I thought you told him to go.
I did. I swear
yes,
to God, I told
but
you.
Yes, but I simply took the liberty of reading between the lines.
What are you talking about?
Let's just say, as a student of the goodbye kiss, it possessed a little more kiss and a little less goodbye.
What, but you kissed him?
It was a goodbye kiss, Dawson. It was a goodbye kiss.
All right, if that's all it was, then I will take my leave right now. But you tell me, Jenny, tell me all that kiss said was goodbye.
You can see in the visual aids the ambivalent face that accompanies that long pause. She decides how to answer that.
Yeah, not less ambivalent, Dawson's nostrils, which quickly flare out to blot out the sun. I mean, this is where the flare stare care trifecta began, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Back on the deck, Pacey finds Joey and advises her to slow down on the beer. Joey sentimentally says Pacey's a really terrific friend, which is how he can tell she's already quite drunk. Tyler returns with another drink for her and asks Chloe if Pacey is bothering her, so an exasperated Pacey has to set him straight. Tyler doesn't care what her name is and leads Joey away. Back on the beach, Dawson orders Jen to tell Billy that the kiss meant nothing. Flustered, Jen tries to explain how confused she is by all her feelings right now. Dawson presses her to answer the question. Billy says he thinks she did, but Dawson just doesn't like what he heard. Dawson tells Billy to stay out of shit that doesn't concern him, but clip 14.
You know what? I think that's where we disagree, Dawson, because not only does this concern me, it concerns me gravely. So if there was ever a third and expendable wheel in this scenario, it would be you.
Fifth wheel. Fowles McGee.
Fifth wheel.
See, and now we can't be on his side. I mean.
Yeah, right?
If our choices are him or Dawson. Can. No, it's true. They go on, clip 15.
See, Jen and I go way back. She was with me long before she ever even entered into your fantasies.
You and everyone else.
Ooh. You know, Dawson, I may have made some mistakes. But at least I don't live in a fantasy world where
Jen,
everyone is pure.
I'm sorry, I don't
want to
trade insults here. I just want to know where I stand. One of us has got to go. Who's it going to be, him or me? Jen, who's the third wheel in this scenario?
Yeah, I think I am.
Oh, Kelly Taylor. Good job.
Yes, a more satisfying version of this conversation, for sure. Elsewhere, Joey is slightly swaying on Tyler when Pacey appears to break it up. Tyler shoves Pacey, saying Joey doesn't want to leave. Fisticuffs ensue, with Pacey improbably laying Tyler out with one punch. And then Dawson arrives just in time for Joey, a few yards away, to keel over. Dawson runs over, and Joey thanks him, saying he is her hero, while Pacey's like, the fuck? Into the commercial break, as you can see in the visual aids. And, you know, the writers, they just really had no choice with Joey and Pacey at all.
No.
Hours later, Dawson and Pacey try to get Joey into her bedroom without Bodie finding out that she is wasted. Pacey leaves Dawson to manage Joey, and when Dawson warns him not to wake up the baby, Pacey gives him an absolutely hilarious, the fuck kind of idiot do you actually think I am reaction, because Pacey is a different kind of idiot than Dawson, for sure.
Yep.
But then he immediately steps on a couple of squeaky toys in the baby's room and turns off the baby monitor to try to soothe Alexander back to sleep. And as Dawson settles Joey on the couch, he says he knows it's been a bad week, but she always tries to keep it together. And he wonders if she got drunk to give herself a break. Joey starts sleep talking about getting tartar sauce to table 5, so maybe? And then Pacey continues trying to settle the baby back down, now with a bottle that was, I guess, just sitting there. And back in the living room, clip 16.
It's probably the wrong time to tell you this, but maybe it's a perfect time. I realize how incredibly confusing things are between us right now. I can't even begin to explain our relationship.
probably can't either. But, I just want you to know that, if you ever need me, I'll always be here for you. All you ever have to do is ask.
Barf.
That is when Joey, seeming very unaware of what she's doing, opens her eyes, grabs Dawson's face, kisses him, and passes out again, and Dawson looks very alarmed. Over to the nursery, Pacey is retelling the plot of the English patient to a very contented baby, and then he leaves without turning the monitor back on, suspicious. And then Dawson's rowing Pacey back across the creek and marveling at how out of it Joey was, babbling about the ice house, and then she kissed him! And Pacey asked if it was like an aunt on Thanksgiving, but Dawson says it was a real kiss before downplaying it. Clip 17.
It meant nothing. I mean, she was completely wasted. Obviously, mistook me for Brad Pitt. Which is understandable.
Oh, Dawson, my fine, oblivious friend. One of these days, you're going to have to take a gigantic fact check, my friend, all right? She didn't mistake you for anybody, okay? This girl is head in the clouds 100%, ass backwards in love with you, all right?
Dude, Pacey, Joey and I have a great time together. And it's great to have somebody that you know so well that you don't even have to verbalize what you're thinking most of the time. The other person just gets it, picks up on it. And it's like that with Joey and me. It's great, and I like it, but it's not love.
Hey, all right, don't you think it's a little strange that in the middle of a disastrous weekend with your girlfriend, Jen, you and I are sitting here talking about your friend, Joey?
Love is what I have with Jen. Okay, it's exciting. It's new and unknown. Sometimes it's out of hand, but trust me, there's a difference between friendship and love.
Right, and you're so sure that you know that difference.
Yeah. That throwaway that about him, about her mistaking him for Brad Pitt, and he's like, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I barked laughing and rewound it like 3 times. Yeah. It's completely out of character for Dawson. The line delivery is like not annoying, which ditto. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, and I remember this from recapping days, every now and then there would just be this moment when you were like,
fine. Yep. It's true.
And that was one of them. It had been a while, and I was happy to have that respite from all the nostril flaring this time.
Yep, I agree. When Dawson returns to his bedroom, Billy is bitterly packing and tells Dawson he wins. He talked to Jen, and it doesn't seem like she is as confused about her feelings as she said. The nice guy's gonna get the girl. And if traffic is with Billy, however, he can make it to Cape Side in under 3.5 hours, so Dawson better treat Jen well. And Dawson is pulling down his blind when he looks out the window and sees that Jen is alone on the dock. And he walks up to Jen without making any noise. Guys, don't do that. Announce yourselves, especially outside at night. Just a tip from me to you.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people have bear spray, and that could end really badly for everyone.
It gets worse. Clip 18.
You know, for someone who views himself as a tragically nice guy, I spent an awful lot of time apologizing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What does that tell
right.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the scoff is very kind of her, because she could say more and is about to, but Dawson barrels ahead anyway, till she stops him. Clip 19.
You know how you're always curious about what my life was like in New York? Truth is, it's really no different than it is right now. I mean, geography aside, I am still the same stupid girl who's always found it easier to escape into a relationship than to face life on her own.
Jen, that's not true. Okay, it's this whole Billy thing. I mean, now that the ghost of boyfriend's past is gone, we can go back.
To what? Dawson, I'm 16. I've never stayed home on a Saturday night. I've never gone stag to a school dance. I'm pretty. I'm lucky. I'm fortunate, and I am still way too unhappy most of the time. I told Billy today that it was over with us.
I know, you told me.
And now I have to say the same thing to you.
Not, I mean, not how people talk, not how New York teenagers think about their lives. Mm-mm. Just no.
No.
I mean, we did not give Michelle Williams nearly enough credit for how close she got to almost putting it over back in the day, because she does. Like, this sort of line delivery is not my favorite, but she's doing her best with some non-credible garbaggio.
Yep.
But yeah, this is just bad. Like, the thing is, we watch the show. It's Dawson. Mm-hmm. Cut. We got it.
So as Dawson finally figures out what she's getting ready to tell him, she tearfully says she envies his inexperience. Everything is new to him. And he tries to stop her, babbling that they can fix this, but she says they can't. It's over. It's over. Dawson begs her to sleep on it, but she insists that she has to try life on her own for a while. And Dawson, clip 20.
You can't just make me fall for you and then bail as soon as you...
I'll miss you, you know.
Yeah.
He's sleeping 80 feet away from you and it'll feel like 1,000 miles. I'll regret my decision constantly. I kick myself to no end. And when I come crawling back to you, you'll have every right to say, take a hike, Jen. I'm with somebody else now and I don't
somebody
need
who appreciates me. Somebody who doesn't blow into town with their dysfunctional past to play mind games with the boy next door. Somebody who is capable of a healthy, committed relationship. And unfortunately, somebody nothing like you.
Anywhere, here I stand.
The first time I heard that, I thought the song lyric was anyway, like just changing the subject, which would have been more fitting.
Also, during that period, he stops and, like, does a full, like, 180 flap turn to see if she's about to stop him. And when she's like, well, I guess I'll just stare out to sea until this oaf goes back to his house.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, for a show that's named after him, this show really hates him.
Oh, and has from so early on, like way earlier than you remember. It's episode 8. Like, he's already such a bitch.
Yeah, he really is. But just like a pitiable bitch also.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not being infuriating, you're being like just pathetic. This is so bad.
Anyway, I mean, again, more unrealistic dialogue in that, too. Like, I'll probably regret my feelings. Like, no teenager talks like this. Like, if she really thought that, she would just not break up with him, you know?
Yeah.
The reasons to break up when you're a teenager are not like, well, I've never been single. Like, that's just not done.
Yeah, no.
You know? No one has that much self-awareness when
they're
16.
I've never been
to me. Exactly. Okay, Charlene.
Seriously. Someone left Dawson's vest out in the rain. Like, what are we doing here? Oh, God.
And it formed a new dam because it's gigantic and very absorbent. Anyway, let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. I think we know yours, but make it official.
Yeah, Cliff.
Cliff. Such a drag. They don't even like, they have him come in and be like, come to my party. And then he's not even at the party. Like,
yeah,
I guess
right?
They paid him for one scene.
Mm.
I'm going to say the old guy drinking before school on the shore with Pacey.
In his hip waders in case he gets wrecked and falls off the pier.
Yeah.
That's using your noggin.
Least valuable player. Dawson.
Yeah. Also, Grams, please come back, dropkick Billy over the canal, back onto the mainland, and then this episode is 12 minutes long. We don't have to deal with any of this horseshit. Next time on Again With This Melrose Edition, Sarah's scheme backfires on Megan, Kyle moves on Jane, and Amanda and Peter miss the boat, literally, but not metaphorically. You might feel all at sea when you check out our visual aids. You can find those at againwiththispodcast.com. And don't forget to check out our club page as well. There's a ton of extra 90210, Melrose, and Dawson's content for Patreon supporters. And you can hang out with us, / your fellow listeners, on our dedicated Discord. So go to againwiththispodcast.com/club for more information. I'm Vintage Attire, masquerading as a personality, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is a collector's item, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, likes your vest. Talk to you next time.
We don't have to be consistent. We like what we like. Shut up.
It's probably the wrong time to tell you this, but, maybe it's the perfect time. I realize how incredibly confusing things are between us right now. I can't even begin to explain our relationship. And you probably can't either. But, I just want you to know that, if you ever need me, I'll always be here for you. All you ever have to do is ask.
Dave, did you just turn that down? Because that got really quiet midway through.
Sandy stepped on the foot pedal.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, the editorial comment on Dawson's baby voice is noted and concurred with.
Hang on. Let me replay.
Okay.